Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. And welcome to Marketing Tip for Translators. I hope you're all doing well. It is, when we're recording this, it is mid-August or towards the end of August, and the pandemic is still going strong in many countries. So I hope you're all doing well. I am personally glad to be digging into new episodes after doing some reruns of older ones that you might have missed this summer. Today, I'm going to focus on answering your questions about LinkedIn as a marketing tool. I have found LinkedIn to be one of the most important social media tools for freelance translators that are looking to boost their business. LinkedIn is much more than an online resume. You can think of it as your online, we're going to talk about it later, but brand image and narrative, your reputation, somewhere where you can demonstrate the value you bring to your clients, etc. There are hundreds of clients and networking opportunities on LinkedIn every single day, and many of them are available entirely for free. But before we dive into the topic today and answer all the questions and invite my guest, a quick shout out to another freelance translator who's been who gave me a nice review on iTunes. This comes from Patricia. She says, fantastic podcast. She's from the UK, and she says, Tess provides great value with these podcasts. The variety of topics, great guests, and Tess's own input makes the podcast exciting and inspiring for any translator out there. Thank you for taking the time to put them together, Tess. Thank you, Patricia, for taking the time to leave the review, because I really appreciate it and it makes it all worthwhile. Sometimes I'm like, why am I doing this? But I enjoy meeting all of you and hearing from all of you. So thanks, Patricia. And now over to the topic of the day, LinkedIn. I have received some listener questions about marketing on LinkedIn. And as my LinkedIn teacher in the online marketing course I have available for you on demand, I thought I would ask Martina Russo back to the show to answer these questions. Welcome back to the podcast, Martina.
Hi, thank you, Tess. And thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm happy to be back and ready to answer all of your questions.
And where in the world are you working from today?
So right now I am right in the middle of Portugal, right below Coimbra.
Okay.
Where I've been relocated to for about 2 weeks now.
Okay. Sounds exciting, because I think when I interviewed you last, you were in Greece. So.
Yes. I'm moving quite a lot.
Yes, that's good. That's good. And you have a tiny home, and I follow you on Instagram and I love your pictures.
Yep.
Anyway, for those of listeners who have missed your previous episodes in 187 on how to market yourself online and 240 on how to raise your rates, tell us really briefly about who you are and what you're working on in the translation industry.
Cool. So I am, as you might be able to tell from my accent, I'm an Italian native translator, and I specialize, have two specializations. One is marketing and digital, and I work specifically with B2B SaaS companies in marketing and sales technology kind of thing. And the other one is action sports and the outdoors, because I'm also a big outdoors and action sports junkie. So those are my two niches. And I also have a little e-commerce that you might have seen around, which is called Freelancer at Work, basically making little laptop stickers that says, you know, Translator at Work and stuff like that to help people like us market our services with our laptops for free. And I've been in the industry for about 10 years now.
Okay.
And over the past few years, I've just been sharing a lot of the things that I've been learning, which include how to leverage LinkedIn for translators and interpreters. And then one thing led to another. And now I'm kind of co-presenting and teaching courses and webinars, including the one that I've been co-presenting, co-teaching with Tess.
Yes, yes. We Martina is teaching the LinkedIn portion on the of the online or inbound marketing course that we will link to in the show notes, of course. So one of the questions I received when I asked the listeners what they wanted to me to talk about or was how to best take advantage of LinkedIn and market our services for free on this platform. We're going to talk about both free and paid. So let's start with the free part.
So I think LinkedIn is, in case you didn't know, you didn't notice yet, I think that LinkedIn is an amazing platform. It's the hottest platform when you can market your services completely for free. You know, you can have a premium account, which we're going to talk about later, but it's not really mandatory. It's not necessary. You can still do a lot of stuff for free. And I think that the best stuff that you can do with the platform is for free, because you can tweak the profile in a way that gets you found even on Google, that helps you show up in the first results of Google. And then if you're really strategic about it, and helps you really connect with decision makers at the companies that you might want to work with, which whether it be direct clients or agencies, to show your expertise and to establish yourself as an authority. And then that automatically also means being able to increase your perceived value and increase your rates.
But isn't LinkedIn originally just for people looking for a job, job seekers?
Yes. So it started off as, and I think it was for a long time, just a static CV platform where everyone felt everyone else was being just corporate. And we all had to be corporate and nothing was appropriate but being corporate. Mm-hmm. And then when I got on it maybe 2.5 years ago, I've lost track now, and I started learning about it a little bit more, just putting more effort into it, I think it underwent a massive transformation, and it went from this static CV platform to now what it is basically a content marketing social selling platform.
Mm-hmm. Okay, content marketing and social selling. Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell us how a freelance translator or interpreter can use LinkedIn then to do just that.
So the first step is, but that's kind of the thing that you need to do before you do anything else, but that's fundamental to do before you get on LinkedIn and start doing stuff. Mm-hmm. You really need to be 100% clear as to who you want to work with. And also, because not every single industry might be on LinkedIn, or maybe they are, but they are not as active, or maybe they are, but they have someone else handling their account or a VA working with them. So, you know, I work in the marketing and B2B and digital space, and all of my clients are on LinkedIn active all the time. But maybe a lawyer might get all his LinkedIn stuff through a VA, for example. I'm just making it up. I don't know. Or a doctor. You know, I have no idea. I'm just making it up. So you really need to understand who you want to serve. Okay, serve maybe is not the right word. Who you want to work with and how they use LinkedIn, because that's going to change the way that you are going to first optimize your profile and then create content around it. And then the next thing that you want to do once you've done that is to optimize your profile to the best possible, but that's something that you can keep changing and tweaking as you go, which I do, for example, all the time.
What about you might want to mention that, or you might already have a plan to mention this, but is it more important to be actively posting your own content there, or to be active in groups?
Well, I think that's a wrong question. The thing is it more important to be actively posting or to be actively engaging with other people's posts? That's a right question. And the answer is you need to do both. I've actually read some people saying that for every post that you publish, you want to engage with 10 more or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's taken from. But basically, the idea is that you post something and it's important that you try to direct your content to your potential clients and not to other translators. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, you're just going to draw more translators and mm-hmm. you probably want to connect with clients on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And then you also want to go out and try to engage with content created by your potential target audience and not other translators, or maybe marginally, because that's what I see all the time. I have a lot of posts popping up in my feed written by translators. And if you go and look at comments, the only interactions come from translators, including likes and engagement.
And I'm pretty sure mine are like that. So where should I engage then? Should I engage in groups, or just should I follow my target companies and try to engage with what they post?
So the groups have been kind of a ghost town for a long time, and now mm-hmm. they're kind of, LinkedIn is trying to revive them again, and you might see in your feed, notifications, mm-hmm. you might have notifications coming up to say that some admin of some group has endorsed or recommended a post. So that's kind of, they're trying to revive the post, but I don't think they're still not, I mean, the groups that I'm in, at least, there's still not much going on.
Yeah.
So a group might be useful for me because I go and look at the members, because if it's a target audience for me, that's a goldmine of members and of people that I can connect with. Mm-hmm. But what I would do, I would go and actively connect and create an intentional network. Intentionally create a network with people in my target industry, and mm-hmm. Also make sure that they are active on LinkedIn, otherwise they might see your connection request in like 5 months from now.
Yes.
And it's kind of and to be able to see if they're active, by the way, you just need to go on their profile and check the activity section, and anything that they've done just going to show up there, and so that's really easy to see if they're being active. And then just send a personal connection request and just take it from there. And then because they're active, a lot of their stuff is going to pop up in your feed. That's also the other reason why it's important that they're active. And then it's easy to connect with them. And so mm-hmm. rather than company pages, I would focus more on personal profiles, like personal brand. Personal brands are all the rage on LinkedIn rather than company pages.
Mm-hmm. So, Martina, are you using the free features on LinkedIn, or do you also use the premium or sales navigation features?
So for a long time, I was using the premium one, but uh-huh. to be very honest, I was paying, I don't know, something like 60 euros per month or more.
Yes.
And I wasn't really using the features. The only feature that I was using was the Who's in Your Profile report, which is really useful. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't really using it because all of my work was being done within my feed, and I was just posting that, you know, content mm-hmm. that was meant to attract people to my profile rather than me having to chase people. Mm-hmm. So I decided to stop using the premium version. I just actually reactivated it the other day to send an email message. So I can tell you what the premium features are good for. But I'm not a super expert because honestly, I haven't been using it to that extent, because I think the amazing thing of LinkedIn is that you can do so much stuff for free. And so if you're just starting out or you don't have a massive budget, then it's an incredible tool.
And I can chime in with how I usually do it. I activate premium usually in January, because that's when I have a slow season with work, and my target clients aren't really sending me projects right then. So, but it can be whenever. But I activate it because and I activate the sales navigator so I can see who has checked out my profile and I can see sort of the extended network of my target client easier. And I think I have more, I can send messages, more messages to these people. But one of the best features is who has checked out my profile and stuff. Usually it's other translators, but sometimes it's a company and then I can see it.
Yeah. And it's good, especially if, for example, you've got some sort of analytics or some lead finder on your website, then you can also cross check, you know, and then it's quite interesting.
For the analytics, yes, it's good too. Yeah. But I don't pay for it every month. I activate it and then I deactivate it and stuff like
that. Yeah, I mean, unless you really, you're really intense about wanting to send out, to get after leads, then I don't think it's that important to have it, especially at the beginning. The one thing that I think also is really, really important is the Who's Video profile feature. And then there is also the LinkedIn Learning. It's like a huge directory of learning material, which I think it's for free within the pro subscription. So I think that's also very useful and valuable. I just checked it out yesterday by chance, by the way, and it seems to have quite a lot of good stuff on it. But also then it gives you also the chance of getting in touch with people through direct messages, email, they're called on LinkedIn, which I think you've got something like up to 20 for free in the free version it used to be per month, I think, but I haven't had mine in a long time. But anyway, the thing is that when I receive an email, it's usually somebody trying to sell me a service and I'm not interested in it. So it's like a cold email. I don't really think that you need that. I did reactivate the Sales Navigator the other day just because I wanted to get in touch with an old contact of mine, and there was no way to get in touch with her anywhere. And so I thought, I'm just going to do this and send her an email. But she hasn't even seen it yet. So
yeah. And now I remember another feature that is why I activate it once in a while. It's the search or the research function, because you can have saved searches and I can say, I'm looking for these kind of companies, this size, this location, this kind of position in the company and stuff. And then it saves that search and spits out people. But also, while I have it activated, it suggests similar ones or new ones to the list.
And it also helps you track keywords. You can save leads. So whenever they post something, you're the first one to be notified when they've posted something. So it's easier for you to keep track of what they're doing. And then you can go and comment and go and, you know, just be there on their feed. So
is that the with the Sales Navigator, you mean?
Yeah. You can save the lead or even account, and which I think means pages as well.
Yeah.
So you can check tags and stuff like that. So basically it saves it, and then anytime that they post something, you're notified. So you can go there and comment. But to be honest, this happens anyway on my feed with a free thing, because I am quite intentional about what happens on my feed. So, like, I unfollow people who tend to, recommend or suggest some sort of content coming up, so it doesn't clutter my feed, and I can concentrate on the people that I want to follow instead. So.
Okay. So basically, to conclude, we can do a lot with the free version, but we might want to activate Sales Navigator if you want to do more like
in
research and client lists and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's also to be you can also have, you know, that little golden premium badge next to your profile, your photo and stuff, which is good in terms of projecting your brand and your image to the outside world, meaning that people are going to think, you know, they can see that you're investing in your business, you're a true professional. So it's good for your brand, but that's about it. You can achieve more things also by being intentional about your language and the stuff that you have in your profile, and have kind of the same effect, so to speak. Basically, not, you know, it tells people that you're not cheap if you have the premium thing. So that's good, I would say.
Okay. All right, so I'm gonna go back to just the profile then. What are your best profile tips? Because that's the first step for many, is to update their profile, but we shouldn't stop there, of course. But do you have any favorite profiles?
Yes. Yes. So the background cover is one of the best, well, most important pieces of real estate on your profile, and you should really use it to your advantage. So, for example, I decided to put up this good testimonial from one of my clients. So when people go and see it, they have a really good idea of what kind of service I provide. Then you also want to...
You taught me that, actually. I used to have American and Swedish flags there, and now I've changed it.
Has it worked well for you, you think?
I don't know. I haven't had many comments about it.
Because the thing is that you can't, the thing on LinkedIn is that, and that's also what, because I follow a lot of marketing people and a lot of people in the marketing world, they're all going on about, you can't always track ROI on every single thing that you do, but the overall thing that you can tell when it's working, for example, for me, of course, I cannot track the ROI on my background cover on every single word on my profile. But then what happens is that when people get in touch with me, they have a very clear picture of what I do and how I do it. And even though I don't publish my rates anywhere, they already have a very, you know, pretty good idea of what kind of rates I'm going to charge, just because I've put some those things on my profile. And that also automatically filters out cheapskates and bottom feeders. So, you know, and I've got very direct feedback on that as well. So...
What do you mean? The background cover does that?
Well, everything that you do with your profile on LinkedIn, it's quite hard to track it unless you have a call to action, like book at this link, and you can say this came from LinkedIn, and then you know that's that's the kind of thing you can track. But you probably cannot track the impact of each single piece of content on your profile, including the background cover and your headline. But then when people get in touch with you either through LinkedIn, or maybe they look you up and they find your LinkedIn profile, that contributes to your overall brand and tone of voice and everything, and that definitely has an impact, like for me, a major impact.
Yes. On
even what kind of clients get in touch with me in the first place.
And I think we actually had a question in the course about the background cover, where to create it and how to create it. I'm not sure you saw that comment, but I answered and that you can use Canva. That Canva has already sort of a LinkedIn background template, don't they?
Yes, I used Canva with mine. It's pretty easy. I just happened today to see one of our colleagues share a post on our Facebook group saying that he's using someone called LinkedIn Banner Man or something like that. So there is also a guy which for like £89 creates banners for LinkedIn. So and they're pretty cool ones. So
But if anybody listening to this happened to check out our background banner or LinkedIn banner, it's from Canva.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
And by the way, I was just going to say that whatever you do, it doesn't have to be set in stone. I change mine all the time. I tweak it just because I watch trends. I watch what works. I watch what doesn't. And the important thing is that you always feel free that you can change it and update it. Or
yes. So you are constantly tweaking and updating. So how much time do you spend on LinkedIn then per day?
Per day now, not much, maybe 20 minutes. Maybe 20 minutes. So when I started out, it was extremely time consuming because I was trying to find ideas to post every day. And I was really, at the beginning, it was okay. Then I was really struggling to post every single day. And in the end, I had a burnout, a LinkedIn burnout. Yeah. And I didn't really spend a lot of time on the platform at all anymore. So I was spending, I don't know, maybe one, I don't know, a couple of hours every day or more. I can't even remember anymore. It was quite overwhelming at some point. So I kind of stopped. And now I've come back to it. Luckily, I grew my network quite a lot over the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I could still have momentum from then. And every time that I post, I still have quite a lot of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
But now I do it a bit more strategically, I guess. And I post maybe twice, three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to best create content in advance when I feel particularly inspired. And then also, anytime that I have an idea, I try to jot it down. Maybe I'm like walking and maybe I'm climbing and I've got an idea. So mm-hmm. I try to jot it down quickly. And then that's going to help me over time to reduce time. And then I just post it. I engage a little bit. And then I come back later to reply to comments. So mm-hmm. that's very doable for me right now.
Mm-hmm. And for me, it goes in phases, I guess. Sometimes I'm very active if I don't, I'm not overloaded with work, and sometimes I'm less active, but I do try to check in every day to see the news feed and respond to comments and stuff like that. So
for me, it's definitely changed when I started really, that's actually quite recent, when I really, because before I was just like, okay, I'm working with digital brands and digital marketing, but now I've really realized recently that what really sparks joy in me is working with a very specific type of B2B SaaS companies. And so I've started adding people in that industry, and all the feed that I see is stuff that I really love learning about anyway. So now it doesn't even feel like I'm working. I just find stuff that I really am interested in. And so I learn stuff. And mm-hmm. it's much easier to engage as well and communicate with people.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So so you talked about connecting with your ideal clients and them. So what are your best connection tips?
So as I said before, I do check. So I might start, for example, let's say that I have someone in my industry, in that target industry, in my feed. So I go and check his profile.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best things that I've found that you can do, if those people are active, they usually post about their industry, which is my target industry.
Yes.
So I go and I check the people in their comments and even their likes and stuff. And I see between among all those people, I go and check out like all, not all of them, but quite a lot of profiles. And I see if they're interesting to me, which a lot of them are. And mm-hmm. then I send a little connection request.
Yep.
I never send an empty message, and I never send one of those really annoying automated messages that LinkedIn gives you,
mm-hmm.
the option to, like, I would like to connect or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when then people accept your request, then that thing becomes a message in their inbox, and then it kind of clocks it up for no reason. It's kind of useless, really. I think it's actually quite annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So I always put a little, for example, let's say that I found their comment under this person thread. I would probably like the comment, and then I would send a little message saying, hey, I just read your comment under person's thread. So it's kind of like an introduction, even though it's not an interaction.
Yep.
And I agree, and blah, blah, blah. I would really love to connect. As we work in overlapping industries, because I do translation. I run a translation business that specializes in this and this and that. Mm-hmm. Would love to connect. Da, da, da. So by doing that, I'm kind of introducing myself through a mutual connection kind of thing.
Yes.
So there is like a common point already. And then I also do a little praise, give a little praise, which everyone loves. And then I also introduce my services without selling my services. And quite a lot of people then, you know, sometimes people say, oh, cool. I don't need someone in with that skill set right now, but I'll be in touch. Or, oh, cool, I was actually looking for someone, or I had a project in mind, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yep. That's how it works, isn't it?
And so that works.
And sometimes I send a connection request, and they... it takes weeks or months for them to respond, but it can still lead to a project, I've noticed.
Yeah. So the thing is, for me to reduce that time is to actively pursue people that are active on LinkedIn, because if they don't log in, they're not going to see the request.
Yeah.
Whereas when you do that, then, and plus if you do like their comment, for example, they already see your name somewhere else. So it's kind of good to be, you know, they say that people need to see your name 7 times before they're ready to buy from you, your message. So it's good to like, that's already twice, you know, you sneaked in, sneaked your name into the feed twice. And also something else that you can do once you have one of those people that you already are in your target industry, or maybe even one of your clients, you can go and check their profile. And if you go on anyone's profile, you scroll down to the bottom, and on the right side, you will see, let me just check. I'm just going to check you out right now.
Okay.
Just to have an example ready. If you go all the way, well, not all the way down, but just on the right side, mm-hmm. LinkedIn keeps tweaking the platform. So things change a little bit all the time. You can see that you have people also viewed, and usually it's people, you know, from a similar industry. Mm-hmm. So it's quite useful, because then if you look up something, someone from your target industry, then you're going to have people that are similar to them. And that's an endless directory of potential clients.
Yes. So we click on a connection we would like to connect with, and we can try and engage through commenting and stuff with them. But then if we click on an ideal client connection, we can also see who they have viewed in the industry by going to people also viewed. So that will sort of expand the network from there.
Exactly. So for example, because I just went into one of my people in my network, just to give you examples, and she's the vice president of localization at a company that I follow that I would love to work with at some point. Uh-huh. And if I go on her profile, right on the right side, it says people also viewed, and that is leading localization at other company that I would love to work with, localization program manager. Then the third one, product localization at, that, and it's all big companies, you know? So yeah. it's pretty good.
Yes.
And that works with any industry and anyone. Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at my profile now too. Do you, and I have a question, do you have your profile in several languages?
No, I'm really bad at that. I don't even have my websites in several languages.
Okay.
I'm absolutely awful. But I see that I just checked yours, and I just see that they've been making this function of displaying and writing your profile in multiple languages much easier. So if I go on yours, I see English and Svenska right on the right side, mm-hmm. which wasn't there before. It's a new feature for sure, or like just a new way of displaying it. And so it just automatically changed now as soon as I clicked on it, which is pretty cool.
Okay. So if you, what should we recommend then? So you don't need to have it in several languages, only if your target clients use both of those languages, maybe.
I mean, it really depends. I think it's really good for SEO as well, because you're going to come up on Google more often. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, for me, because I have clients both in, most of my clients are from German speaking countries or English speaking countries. So for me, it would be really wise to have my profile in German also, and not so much in Italian, because I don't work with Italians, but then that would be a good example of my writing. So that also, you know, works out that way.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for these LinkedIn tips. So to summarize, you can do amazingly much with just the free version. If you want to do more client researching clients and stuff, you might consider doing the Sales Navigator temporarily or at least some time when you want to actively use LinkedIn to make your profile work or your LinkedIn work for you. You have to be active on it. Mm-hmm. And post regularly and respond regularly, right?
Yes. And at the very least, if you're not ready, if you're not at that stage yet, go on and just comment with people. Make sure you've optimized your profile, then go and engage with people in your target industry. I just recommend you to really try to not engage with translators all the time, because you can do that on Facebook and on Twitter. Yes. But I really recommend to use LinkedIn to your advantage with clients rather than just translators.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Martina. And to get even more tips from her on LinkedIn, she has a whole hour of presentation and worksheets in my inbound marketing course, where we also cover website and content marketing and how to chisel out your ideal client avatar. Before I let you go, Martina, I know I've had you on the podcast twice before. Is there any other marketing strategy that works really well for you right now?
You mean on top of LinkedIn?
Yes, since obviously LinkedIn is working for you, right?
Yeah, so I really, the one that works better definitely is LinkedIn, and then something else. So, okay, most of my clients come through LinkedIn, word of mouth, and which also, by the way, happens on LinkedIn because I do get recommended. Like LinkedIn is kind of the hub that encompasses it all. Mm-hmm. I kind of reconnect everything back to LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I also do a little bit of cold outreach. And when I really want to work with a company or just to, you know, people don't know that you exist unless you somehow make yourself visible to them. Mm-hmm. So, for example, one time I did send a cold email to a client, got back in touch with me months, something like 8 months later. Mm-hmm. But the only reason why I got the job and not someone else in my language pair is because I reached out to them. So they knew me. Mm-hmm. So I do a little bit of cold outreach. I know it can be a bit daunting and discouraging, but if you get it, try to get it right, at least it does work in the long term. Mm-hmm. It's like a long-term game. And then I also opened the Instagram account. So I do one of them, I've got two. One of them I use more for visibility, the action sports one, and back up my claims because that's important in that industry, rather than actually generate leads through that. Mm-hmm. And the other one, I just opened it, so I'm not super active on it. It's just there. So yeah, that's mostly what I do.
And what about your website?
So my website is actually, so the one in Action Sports actually works pretty well because I do get leads from it. They found me because somehow I did it myself. SEO works, somehow it works with SEO, and I do get found by some of the top brands in the industry that I'm targeting. They just find me. They get in touch with me directly.
I was actually consulting or coaching another translator this week, and he wants to specialize in sports. So mm-hmm. I Googled sports translator, or I Googled the language combination and sports translator, and the Action Sports Translator site came up first. So have you worked a lot on SEO for that?
Actually, I haven't. I think it's because I did the website myself, you know, uh-huh. and I didn't do that much work on SEO, if at all. But I think because it's such a specific niche, and there is no one else doing this the way that I'm doing it. And I also choose a good URL, the Action Sports
yes.
Translator.
Yeah.
And yeah, and if you look at it, there is not much content on it either because it's a one page website.
Uh-huh.
So, and then I very sparingly put on some blog articles because I don't have enough time to stay on top of that as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, but somehow it just comes up, I think. Yeah, so people find my website, so that's mm-hmm. pretty good. Mm-hmm. The digital marketing SaaS one, not so much, because I think it's a much more competitive field and it's much, much harder to come up. But then I have it there, and I had it done by a professional agency kind of team. And it looks very professional, it's responsive, it works well, it looks, you know, it's modern, and it's very much in tune with my target market. So when people see it, it resonates with them. And so that works for me. Yeah. What you could do, what I've been studying a little bit more, is focusing more on like one page websites, which are more like funnels kind of thing, landing page rather than websites. Mm-hmm. But I'm not an expert at that yet.
Okay. And personally, I get inquiries from my website weekly, I think.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but I also think it's, I happen to pick a very good domain name.
Yeah. I think that does a lot, doesn't it?
yes. But I do work on the SEO too. Okay, yes. Martina, it was a pleasure having you back here again. And thank you for all the nice tips about LinkedIn. I hope that it has inspired many of us. I know you are an inspiration to me when it comes to LinkedIn, for sure. So thank you.
Thank you for having me again. And I hope that the people, colleagues who are going to listen to this are going to feel empowered to get on LinkedIn, because that's the place to be right now.
And, yes.
Yeah.
And we would love to hear from you. If you have any further questions about LinkedIn or any comments on the episode, you can always comment in the show notes, which will be found at marketingtipsfortranslators.com, and go to podcast. And I think this is going to be 255, episode 255. Wow. Where can people find out more about you except on LinkedIn?
So, I mean, to be fair, if you Google Martina Russo translator, you're going to just find 10 pages just on me.
Okay.
So you're going to see, but I do have, it really depends what you want to find out about me. So I've got, one thing that I invite you to do, I have a separate website. I've got three websites. One is called martinatranslates.com, mm-hmm. which is like a personal page, I guess, where mm-hmm. I combine all of my, it's a bit of a presentation page, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I also have a second page on that website, which is called Training for Translators. And you can mm-hmm. see it at the top in the menu. And okay. I list all of my favorite resources, all my courses that I co-teach, co-present, all the stuff that has worked for me, and I share it right there. So you could go and check it out, and that's a lot of cool stuff that I update all the time.
And we will definitely put a link to this in the show notes for sure. So thank you again, Martina. So to summarize, LinkedIn is a very powerful tool for marketing and personal branding and connecting with your ideal clients. It is literally where clients hang out looking for opportunities to connect. So, mm-hmm. and like Martina mentioned earlier, engagement is another way to stay fresh in people's minds without creating content. If you don't have the energy or comfort yet to create your own content on LinkedIn, which I recommend doing anyway, but you can start by just commenting on other people's comments. So remember that. Provide thoughtful responses that show you've read and appreciated what they wrote. Maybe commit yourself to, if you want to go active, 10 comments a day or something like that. Didn't you say so? If you post content, engage with other people's contents 10 times.
Yeah, that's something. I think I read that digit, but you definitely should put some energy and effort into that.
And I know I have to get better at that. So
me too, but we also are somewhere, you know. It's much for me now at this moment, it's easier to post my own stuff and uh-huh. just engage under my thread. It's more in my comfort zone, I guess. But also, yeah. you know, if it's hard to engage, you can, once you have the right connection, you know, in your network, which is important to have the right people to connect with, be clear about who you want to connect with, mm-hmm. then you can, you know, have a little emoji that leave a little congrats on their achievement. So even like a small thing goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you again, Martina. And thank you to everyone listening today. I hope you found a lot of value and insights. If you like the episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app. You can leave me a review on anywhere you listen to podcasts, and you can share the episode with anyone else that you might think might benefit from it. And all the show notes can be found at marketingtipsfortranslators.com/455, I think. No, 255. I said that again. Thank you again, and see you in the next episode. This episode is sponsored by my free masterclass, Online Marketing for Translators and Interpreters, where you can learn how to transform your website and online presence on social media into client-generating machines. It looks like networking with clients at conferences and events will still not be possible for quite a while. This means that we all need to rely on connecting with clients online. There is no better time than now to review your online presence and make sure you are attracting your ideal clients. That's why I want to offer this free training in online marketing for translators and interpreters. During this training, you will learn how to optimize your website and social media online to attract clients to you. You will identify who you want to attract to your online platforms. You will learn strategies and tips for your website design and optimization, so search engine optimization. Learn how to leverage social media to attract your ideal clients. And you will get tips and tools to analyze your online marketing and see if it's really working. You can get instant access to this training at marketingtipsfortranslators.com/online-marketing. I can't wait to help you market your services online. So go to marketingtipsfortranslators.com/online-marketing. See you there. Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.